Hi, it's Chris Titley here. As part of the FinTech Fun podcast series, I'm joined by Andrew Ellett, co-founder of HelpPay. Andrew, thank you so much for joining me on this fine morning here in April.
Chris, it's lovely to be here, especially after I think we met at the Finnies last year and probably a good 9 months coming.
That's right. That's right. We did indeed. It was such a good night to meet crew and network there. And lo and behold, here we are. But Andrew, HelpPay. Let's talk about HelpPay, the origins, the beginning, how the business came about.
Yes, it was a very clear day that is etched in our memories. March the 27th, 2020. We now call that HelpPay Day. But that was when we had the idea that it should be easier to be able to share bills and have them paid, your own bills, or pay somebody else's bills if they're in a spot of trouble. And you probably remember March 2020. Everyone who's lived through that time, COVID arrived. We were down to two or three people in a house was, you know, all that Dan would allow us to have. And I was sitting around with some colleagues and a friend, and we'd seen people in hospitality lose their jobs. We had people that we wanted to support through some tough times, and we didn't know how tough times were actually about to get. And yeah, we had this idea that, well, if I want to pay somebody else's bill for them, what do I have to do? I've got to really, you know, ask them to send me that bill, get all their PII data, see if it's their Telstra bill, exactly what they're spending and who they're calling. And we thought there's got to be an easier way if we want to, yeah, share a bill with someone amongst the network of family and friends who want to help, or if we want to pay somebody else's for them. And so that was the genesis of the idea. And fast forward, you know, 8 months later of market research, we branded our business HelpPay. And in short, what we've built is an app and a platform that allows anybody with entering four tiny data points from any bill to turn their bill into an instantly shareable payment page and link that can then be shared on social media, on any app, privately or publicly, or via our in-app experience, and have other people chip away at that bill.
Fantastic. And that conversation that you were having at that time, from, you know, you mentioned 8 months. I mean, going back into those 8 months, did you think, oh, is there a business model here? Will people like it? Did you test it out with some friends and family, et cetera, and sort of the feedback that you got during that period before you kind of launched a product?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we spent 8 to 10 months in deep market research. One of my other background, my job at the time, I was running a digital agency. And so fortunately, we were able to lead on the skill sets that were within that agency and our experienced design team to really go out and survey thousands of Australians about how they paid bills, what friction points they had, what use cases there might be to share a bill. And we got some amazing stats back from that. For example, of all the Australians that we surveyed, and we did this in online, sort of mass market surveys all around the country, and we found, for example, 47% of Telstra's customers in the preceding 12 months had asked a family or friend member to help pay a bill. We also went and spoke to tens and tens of large-scale Australian providers, and we walked straight into the C-suite through our existing relationships and really queried, executives at big businesses about what sort of debt collection methods they were using. Would they be interested in something that was more about debt prevention? What digital tools did they have to serve their customers? What tools would make their lives and their customers' lives easier? So we did a lot of analysis on what we thought the business model and the value add to businesses and to consumers was. And in typical startup fashion, over the course of the last 3 years, the journey of the last 3 years, it has changed somewhat. And where we thought we had a business model isn't where it ended up being. And to that end, I'll briefly just mention, so we've been in market for 14 months, basically proving product market fit. We've got thousands of users on our platform paying hundreds of different bills from all of Australia's largest companies. Every major telco, every major bank, every major insurance company is on the HelpPay platform because customers of those businesses want to use a platform like HelpPay to share and pay bills. So we've proven that product market fit, but where we thought we'd make eventually pay for all this to keep the lights on isn't. Originally, we were told by the C-suite and executives at companies they'd pay us a percentage of all transactions. But as it turned out, that sales cycle proved to be probably a little bit longer and more time consuming and more problematic than we thought. Because when you ask a big business to give you a percentage, like a merchant services fee of all their transactions, you've got to touch every department within that organization, you know, accounting, finance, customer service, IT. Where is the cost center for something when it is taking a percentage of revenue? So despite all the market feedback that and the market research that we're doing telling us, yes, they'd be happy to pay us to have access to this platform, what we've found recently is actually be easier to put help pay into these businesses as a SaaS platform fee. So we've completely scrapped what we initially went to market with as a merchant services fee, and we had businesses signing up to that, but it's a much easier implementation when you can say to a company, pay for a business plan. It also, at the same time, then we remove all merchant services fees. So a company that is on our paid business SaaS plans, we actually pay the merchant services fees and the credit card transaction fee ourselves out of the larger, I guess, out of that fixed monthly fee that businesses pay us.
Right. So it's you've simplified the pricing model. You've simplified the billing process on the billing as well, the billing on the billing. And in regards to those corporates that are, you know, that are on the platform, what sort of feedback have you had from them, and also on the consumer side, the feedback that you get, positive and or negative?
Yeah, let me talk about the two arms of our business. I guess the two products. First of all, 99.9% of every engagement that we've had on social media, through our support center, through our call center, via email, is all positive. And our, you know, just having read our social pages is testament to that. You know, we exist to make helping easier. We basically digitize what already goes on in the world. You know, look, if I needed to pay your bill for some reason, Chris, if we were in a share house together, there's ways to make that happen. You just give me a copy of your bill or send me your BPAY details. Yeah. I can, you know, fat fingers, enter it, try not to muck it up. There's always been ways to share bills. What we've actually done is just digitize that and made it easier. So that's why generally, I guess, that's why we have thousands of users. That's why the sentiment is really positive. There's so many different use cases for our platform, not just helping the vulnerable or helping people who might be going through a tough time. Think, for example, share houses or adult children moving out of home for the first time and the parents simply want to pay the rego or pay the insurance.
Yep.
And the reason I bring up that example is because we've had so many parents of university students, particularly in regional areas, contact us and say, oh, this is amazing. Thank you so much for this app and this platform. We used to have to give money to our child. Much as we trust them, we know they also love to go to the pub and have a beer on a Friday night. And where's that money really going? And that's a key point about HelpPay is we have something we call the HelpPay promise. And that is when a bill or if any payment is made on the HelpPay platform, it is guaranteed to go only to the provider of that bill. And through our partnership with BPAY, it is instantly reconciled with that provider's existing accounts receivable systems. There is no integration work. There is no IT system work. It simply works. And so on the flip side of the consumer, direct-to-consumer positive sentiment, also providers absolutely love what we do. And an example of that is we were in a meeting with one of the largest telcos in Australia. They said that we like the platform, but can you imagine integrating this new payment channel into the millions of customers' bills that we have? They said, it's just going to be too much work. We've got 8 different billing systems. And we are able to look at our data, look at that provider and say, we're already reconciling X number of transactions per day directly into your systems. You don't even know it because it comes through as if your customer is paying the bill and we have that data. So literally jaws drop in these meetings. So what we've done technology-wise is, as far as we're aware, a world first. We've got a patent pending on this tech in different jurisdictions around the country. But yeah, nobody has done a bill sharing and payment platform that turns every bill in a country. At the moment, we're Australia only, but do have aspirations to go global. And we turn every bill into its own payment page and we instantly reconcile directly to that provider. So it's a pretty unique stack. But for all that technology, fundamentally, we're a brand play and a trust mark after all else.
Yep.
If people don't trust us to get money directly to the provider of a bill without bypassing, you know, individual bank accounts, we'll lose all credibility in market. At the moment, we're 100% successfully reconciled transactions in the 14 months that we've been in market for. And I know this is probably going a little bit off topic, but I'm getting back to your key question. It was about the consumer side and the business side. I've touched on a bit of both, but what we had to do in the first 14 months is prove to providers around the country that people wanted to use us.
Mm.
So we released our business to consumer free product out there. Anyone can go to the Apple App Store, the Google Play Store, or our website, helppay.app, and start using the HelpPay platform right now, put in their four data points, share a bill, or even pay their own bills and get full credit card points. So we've got a lot of people paying council rates, tax office bills, speeding fines, and that's just another use case. It's also about bill, you know, life admin and bill management. People can go and pay their own bills on there.
That's a big market in its own right. Yeah. Yep.
Yeah. So we then took that 14 months worth of data. We've got, as I said, all these hundreds of providers, and that was basically to prove our product market fit, which we've done with, you know, ringing success. And now we're going to providers and saying, right, at the moment, when your customers are already using us because they want to, we can't help but tack on merchants' transaction fees. We partner with the world's biggest companies to, I guess, for speed to market and for quality of product. So, for example, Stripe is our payment gateway. Globally recognized business, has been a fantastic supporter of ours. They generously you know, gave us all sorts of credit and help. We use Microsoft as our tech stack. We use Twilio for our messaging. So really global leading businesses. BPay was able to help us to get speed to market in Australia and for that guarantee in Australia that money goes directly to the source. So then we basically take all our data, all our partnerships, and now we say to providers, right, people are already using you. Sign up to one of our business SaaS plans. We will then make it, we will not charge transaction fees to your customers or their helpers who pay. And simply, we will pay those fees from out of the very small business SaaS fee, platform fee that we charge providers. We only released those SaaS plans to market last month, and we're already getting businesses sign up. So literally, and that was according to, I guess, we always had a plan to prove product market fit by getting consumers on our platform.
Mm.
And then we knew if we can serve consumers well and make helping easier and make people's lives easier, and make people who want to, you know, generous people who want to help somebody who might be struggling because of whatever it might be. We've got awful stories of, you know, heart-wrenching stories of people going through domestic violence who use our platform because it stops the perpetrator from stealing money or not giving money in those awkward situations. So we're helping people in, I guess, communities and tribes support others. And then by helping those communities, in turn, we can help providers be better corporate citizens by putting in place this platform for that percentage of their customer base that does need to ask for help with their bills.
Andrew, it sounds like there's a lot of social good element to your platform, and I think there's, you know, fintech in its own right. Some people think of fintech as, oh, well, it's just a person making a whole lot of money, but you know there is actually good tangible benefits from your platform. I'm keen to know, you know, the competition with, say, direct debit or people that are scanning bills, etc. And there's different ways that people pay bills. I'm sure if you ask people how they pay their bills, there'll be four different methods, etc. I mean, where do you fit in with that and trying to capture some of that share?
You touched on something that's really important here. And with my business hat on, I've talked a bit about product benefits and route to market and product market fit. That's all meaningless in the scheme of things. Our reason for existing is to make helping easier and is to be a social impact fintech.
Mm, mm.
And that's why we started this business. We started this in tough times to help people going through tough times. And myself and my co-founders were in the fortunate position to be able to do that. We were able to have one of us, and I drew the short straw. I was able to leave my day job and spend that first 9 months working on this business on the smell of an oily rag. We bootstrapped it, we seeded it, we raised a little bit of money in those early days, but it was all about social impact. It's all about helping people who are struggling. And so we want to be the social impact payment channel of choice. We want to be on every provider's bill in the country. We want to help providers be better corporate citizens by putting in place a platform like this to help customers within their customer base who may be struggling. And we've also released to that end a Facebook group we call the HelpPay Helping Community, where people can go and publish stories about you know, what might be going on in their life and why they need help. And we've got a network that we're building up there. On our website, we've built out a product feature called HelpPay Stories, where on our website and via the app, you can share your story either anonymously or publicly and simply put the word out there, very much like GoFundMe operates. But the difference between us and GoFundMe is that we guarantee money only goes to the provider of that bill. And it's also a count down, not a count up. We don't try and raise thousands of dollars for somebody on a $100 bill. If it's a $100 bill, we stop taking money on that bill the moment it reaches $100. We don't allow two people to pay at the same time. We don't allow overpayment. So we're building all these features and benefits to really support our social justice mission. And that's, we've got to be really true to that. That is why we exist as a business, is to, yeah, make the world a better place, to give back to the communities that we operate. And that's our message now to every provider in the country. You know, come on board with HelpPay, offer us to people who may be struggling. So yeah, we don't see ourselves as, to go back to your original question as well, we've got an amazing partnership with BPAY, for example, the de facto standard for paying bills in Australia. We work heavily with their technical teams to provide all this tech stack. They've been great supporters of us and us of them. They've allowed us to get to market faster. Along the way, effectively, yeah, BPAY, we have to pay BPAY fees to do what we do. So BPAY get a win out of this as well financially. And to make a social impact business work, we are a for-profit business, and you alluded to this in your question as well. But the for-profit part will come much, much later in our business journey. We can make, the more social impact we can make, it will be when the profit comes. We have to be able to keep the lights on. We have to be able to employ the best engineers. We have to be able to market our product. We need to generate some revenue along the way to make that work. But we can generate that revenue from providers and at the same time make those providers better corporate citizens. So we've created this real win-win-win.
Flywheel.
Providers, we talk to them about debt prevention, not debt collection. Stop paying money to debt collectors and put in place a platform that makes it easier to prevent debt. So they're sending less letters out. They're making less phone calls to late payers.
Yep, and there's a big departments that have got headcount there that are just focusing on that.
You're spot on. So we've got a win to providers, customers who might need a tool like us. If provided that provider is on one of our business plan, pays no fees, it's a free service, and most of our users don't mind paying the small 1.something% that we pay to Stripe. That's just a credit card processing fee, you know. Generally, consumers accept that for all the other benefits that we offer in our app. And then lastly, we've got the value add to helpers, you know, people who want it. So unfortunately, a lot of the users of our platform might be going through drug or alcohol issues or gambling issues. And when you are supporting someone going through drug, alcohol or gambling addictions, you don't want to give that person money. It's the wrong thing to do. But with a platform like HelpPay, you can put money, you can pay a bill via HelpPay, know the money bypasses the person, but keeps the lights on for the kids or gets food on the table or for, yeah. So there's a real value add at every point along the journey. And that's why we think we'll remain as a very relevant social impact payment channel.
Fantastic, Andrew. Just one last question in regards to the business. Where do you see yourself? If we interview you in 12 months' time, where do you see the platform progressing over the next year or so?
Yeah. We've spent the last 12 to 14 months, as I mentioned, proving product market fit. We've got users. We've got close to 300 providers being used by their customers. In 12 months' time, we'd like to have signed 80% of those providers. We'd like to be on every major provider's bill in the country as the social impact payment channel. We're also literally today, to help fund this growth, we're launching on the virtual platform and EOI to raise, to do two things. One, raise some funds to employ more sales and marketing teams to really get word out there and deliver on, to get more businesses on us. And secondly, to allow ordinary Australians, mum and dad Australians, to support us, become shareholders in HelpPay, and also then use the product, talk about the product, and really get the word out there.
So it's exciting.
Really exciting day. And it's great to be actually on this podcast, and you're the first person, we've said this to in a public environment, that this is literally launching, and literally it's 5 to 12 as we're talking, and at midday here in Melbourne, turn on that campaign. By the time this goes to air, I assume in a couple of days, hopefully we'll have lots of users. But if anyone goes to virtual.com or to helppay.com.au, they'll be able to register interest for that, or express interest and read more about it and understand more about the inner workings of our business. So it's really important in the next 12 months that that's a success. And then lastly, we absolutely have global aspirations for this. We see a good fit for this type of service in Indonesia, Southeast Asia, America, UK, New Zealand. They're sort of targets that we have. We're talking to some interested parties in the US at the moment, and obviously being, you know, one of the larger markets that's English speaking, that makes sense for us. And we've also got an eye on China. We've been fortunate enough to attract a bit of investment from some Chinese citizens. They're really keen to break us into that market. And look, we've really got to look carefully at those different geographies, enter at the right time. It's all about Australia at the moment. This is where the idea was seeded, but we're very confident that there's a use case in other geographies as well, and hopefully in the next 12 months.
And Andrew, when you're not talking about global domination and raising money and helping people pay their bills, do you get some downtime? Are you a bit of a downtime person? Do you switch off? Do you have a little hobby that some people may not know about?
Okay, so how long we got?
As long as you want, mate.
Yeah, look, I love this question, and you did forewarn me it was coming. Okay, so in terms of values in life, I'm unashamedly, you know, business is a really big part of my life, and it's probably where I spend most of my time. That said, you know, there's a lot of research and studies out there about how founders get themselves in a little spot of bother with their single-mindedness and with their workaholic nature. So I absolutely enjoy some downtime, and I've really been trying to work on what I call now one life, merging my business, my personal life, and not bringing those business stresses home to
mixing
my
the domains. Yeah.
Yeah. So I do a lot of work at the gym. I really enjoy that. I actually do a lot of work on mindfulness, meditation, living with the right energy levels and working with the right flow. To that end, I'm off to a retreat next month to do a week-long mindfulness retreat, and that's something I work on regularly. And it's worth mentioning to you and your listeners, at the end of 2021, when we launched our first our soft launch, I was a broken man. I really was. I was a wreck. I'd been a workaholic for 18 months. I'd homeschooled my daughter once in the whole time of COVID. I just worked, and I wasn't a good person to be around, and I still sometimes have, you know, issues, but sometimes I still have a good person to be around.
As we all do. Yeah, yeah, yep.
Yeah. So it's always, always a student of life. I'm big on that, always learning, always trying to better oneself. But, yeah, I started this, this journey of mindfulness, meditation, and just being more open to learning better ways to live at the end of 21, and it got me through the next 12 months. So, yeah, it's just trying to get that balance is really important. But I love spending time with people. I love listening to music, particularly electronic music. As long as I get to do a bit of exercise, get to the gym, spend some time with people, listen to music, I'm a very happy person.
Very good. And do you ever come across jumping in an ice bath?
I've done that before. Not for a while. I've done that. Fortunately, I actually was lucky enough to do that in Ukraine, obviously before COVID and before the war. But from the cold ice bath to the hot one, back to the cold one, it's quite bizarre.
A few colleagues in Brisbane have jumped in a few recently, and they said it's helped their mindfulness. They've helped them refresh, you know, sort of reset during the week, etc. They're getting a little bit edgy on things, and they jump in an ice bath, and out the other side, they feel a lot more clearer in terms of their thinking.
All right, I'll go and.
I haven't done one yet, I can't speak from experience, but. Mate, that's some really good tips there that you've given in terms of that balancing, because it is hard. And obviously we were going through unprecedented times, and particularly for, you know, people in Melbourne more so than others in Australia in terms of the lockdowns, etc. So, mate, congratulations on what you've built at HelpPay thus far, and onwards and upwards for the next 12 months and beyond, and obviously some big things coming imminently in terms of the direction of the business. I really appreciate catching up and look forward to catching up again in real life at some point in time, probably at a FinTech Australia event or some other FinTech event, etc. But really wish you well.
Chris, thank you so much for having me on board. Definitely, you're one of the great guys to meet when I did at that FinTech event, and we are overdue for that next beer.
That's it.
Enjoy having a nice beer as well, and let's do that either up in Brisbane or down in Melbourne or in Sydney at a FinTech event.
Sounds a plan.